You've already heard the worldview of ABC News, the ACLU, and the National Education Association. Now, tune in for the other worldview. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five. And ladies and gentlemen, trying to bring a message concerning faith, family, and freedom, a renewal of relationships, homeschooling, family discipleship, the concept of fatherhood in a lost and lonely world, rebuilding civilization from the bottom up. That's what we're doing. About 60 miles from the demise of Western civilization. And we're doing it from my basement out here in eastern Colorado. We've done a lot of programs, folks, not just on American home education, but on Japanese home education, Canadian, Mexican. And today, we want to look at homeschooling in England. You know, the battle for family freedoms is heating up there, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But remember that most of us have grown up with absolute statism. There's a power struggle going on all the time. You see, the power of the modern government state has everything to do with undermining the power of the family. So you would never have had socialism take over every single modern nation state without government destroying family freedoms, without compulsory attendance laws, child protective services, and absolute government oversight over the education and paideia of the child. This is essential for tyranny, for modern socialism to survive. You know, the only movement that I know of that is really taking on the juggernaut of the modern state by reaffirming the solidarity and freedoms of the family is homeschooling. That's the only area where we're really coming to grips with this power struggle, and we're fighting for the freedom and I believe also the survival of the family in the 21st century. So now, back to England. Last month in England, June of 2009, a guy named Graham Badman, that's right, Badman, he produced a report to the Secretary of State on the review of elective home education in England. It was an 84-page report. I reviewed it this morning on the Internet. You can grab it by just doing a search for Graham Badman on the Internet, and you can read it as well. But Graham Badman says he's found strong evidence that child protection concerns are more common among home-educating families. And he suggests mandatory visits by state bureaucrats in homeschool families all over the land of England. Well, in just a moment, I want to speak with one of the foremost leaders of the home education movement in England, Norman Wells. From the Family Education Trust, will be with me in a moment. Stay with me. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, and today more on the international struggle for the integrity, the freedoms, and the survival of the family in the modern states. And with me is Norman Wells from England. He is part of the Family Education Trust there, also a homeschooling family and father of eight children. Welcome to Generations, Norman.
Good evening, Kevin.
Now, you've been involved with the homeschooling effort in England for quite some time. You've homeschooled your children for the last, I guess your oldest daughter is 18 years old, so for quite some time. Tell me a little bit about how you got started homeschooling at the beginning.
Well, I think for us it was just a growing conviction that it was our responsibility before God to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we just weren't comfortable with entrusting our children to those who didn't hold dear the things that we hold dear. And we wanted to give them a consistently Christian worldview, showing how the Word of God applies to every area of life and not just to, you know, the very narrow matters of personal Bible reading and prayer and church attendance.
Mm-hmm. One of the problems that we have here in this country is there are very few science classrooms that will teach science in the fear of God. We have very few chemistry laboratories where the teachers will have the students kneel down and worship the Creator in the chemistry laboratories. And that's a problem for some of us who take our Christian faith seriously here in America. What about England? What is the state of the public schools there?
Well, you get the same thing. I mean, here, one area where I think the schools here in the state system are different from in America is that we do have religious studies taught in schools, but that's very much, very often it will be comparative religion that's being taught, and the focus can very much be sometimes on traditions and festivals rather than on the actual doctrinal beliefs of the various faiths. But that's a very much a compartmentalized thing, and certainly the application of scripture would not be taught in any other part of the curriculum and not in science or history or any other subject.
Evolution in the science classrooms?
Absolutely, yeah. And if the newspapers get a whiff of that creationism may be taught in any school, then that's something they will pounce upon and with some degree of horror.
So if you want a Christian education, if you want God involved in the metaphysic, in reality, in origins, in as a providential sustainer of all things in science, in history, if you believe that God is relevant, you probably do not want to send your children to the public schools in England.
That's right. There may be one or two exceptions here and there where Christian teachers do attempt to apply their faith to the teaching of their subject in the classroom, but that is very difficult to do within the constraints of the national curriculum here. So really you're looking either at an independent Christian school or home education.
And how many people do you think are Christian schooling and or homeschooling in England today?
Well, it's very difficult to put a figure on that. I mean, there are no official statistics available for the numbers of home educators, whether they are Christian or not. There's something in the region of 100 independent Christian schools. Most of those would be fairly small, one or two larger ones. But the exact figures of those being educated from a biblical worldview, it's just simply not known.
Yeah, yeah. And among homeschoolers, I noticed that in England you have a good mix of Christians and non-Christians, as we do here as well. My guess is we've got about 60-40. 60% of homeschoolers here in America are Christians, 40% non-Christians. What do you think the ratios are there?
Again, difficult to estimate, but I would think the majority here would be non-Christian. I think Christians would be very much in the minority. There are Christians and people of other faiths who do choose to teach their children at home as a matter of religious or philosophical conviction, but for others it's due to disillusionment with the school system. Perhaps their children may have suffered from bullying at school, or the schools may not be meeting the needs of particularly gifted children, or on the other hand, children who have particular special needs. And there's also a pretty wide range of educational styles from classical right through to a child-led and more autonomous approach.
Now, Norman, I was homeschooled back in the 1960s and 1970s, but the homeschooling movement here in America really got started in the early 1980s when Dr. James Dobson introduced the idea on his Focus on the Family radio broadcast. That would have been in the 1980s, 81, 82 time frame. That's when things really got started here. What is the brief history of homeschooling in England? When do you think it got started?
Well, I think it probably is more in the last 20 to 25 years that things started moving. We have some friends who were home educating their children back in the late 60s and 70s, and they say they know just of three or four other Christian families in the country, and they used to try to meet up with them once a year. There were very few, and they were very much spread apart across the country. But now we're in a situation where in many parts of the country there are local groups with a dozen, two dozen or more families who are able to meet up on a fairly frequent basis. That would have been unheard of 25, 30 years ago.
Norman, as we see the growth of home education, not just in England, but everywhere else in the Western world, including America, where today we have 2 million home-educated students in this country, what is your thought? Why this phenomena? Why are we seeing home education and the renewal of family relationships happening in the area of education?
Well, I think there are probably a number of reasons for that, but one answer would be a growing dissatisfaction with the school system. The Confederation of British Industry over here has reported that 41% of employers are concerned that their employees' lack of basic literacy skills, and 39% are concerned at their level of numeracy skills. So getting on for half of school leavers seem to have basic problems with literacy and numeracy. There are also great concerns about schools are simply not always regarded as safe places anymore. Standards of discipline in our schools have become so low now that many schools have to have a police presence. There are concerns about violent attacks on both teachers and pupils. And there was a report published only today showing that last year, over 1,000 4- and 5-year-olds were suspended from school for bad behavior, and that includes attacking their teachers, fighting with other children, or even committing a sexual offense. Mm.
You know, as we speak with teachers who've been in the business here in America over the last, say, 20, 30 years, almost without exception, these teachers will say things are far, far worse socially, academically, in terms of the character of the children. We're seeing decline everywhere. In fact, among many, many teachers in the States, we find the teachers prefer to homeschool their own children. They might be, you know, teaching in the public schools themselves, but when it comes to their own children, they would much rather be homeschooling their own children. Is that the situation there in England as well?
You get a mixed reaction from teachers here. I think sometimes professional pride can kick in, and teachers don't like the thought of untrained parents feeling that they can teach their own children. But there are certainly, I think perhaps a growing number of teachers, those who are trained and have worked as teachers, who are now teaching their children at home, largely because of what they've experienced and seen in the schools.
But at the same time, of course, you're seeing some backlash from the state system of education. And as you said, there is some sense of competition here. And now we've got this new report from Mr. Badman. I believe it was called the Secretary of State report on elective home education in England. And was this a shock for you when this man's report came out?
Well, yeah. Well, I hope the whole review seems to have been predicated on a view that children educated at home are at greater risk than those educated at school. Some of the questions that Graham Badman and his team asked were quite frankly insulting to home educating parents. I'll give you a couple of examples. Do you think that home educated children are able to be healthy? Do you think they are able to be safe? Please let us know why you think that. It just seems to me quite extraordinary that the government is asking parents to provide evidence that they're able to care for their own children. But in the report which was published recently, Graham Badman recommended, and the government has accepted his proposals, that there should be compulsory registration, that there should be home visits by the authorities to check on the education and welfare of home-educated children, including powers to speak to home-educated children alone without their parents present when it's deemed appropriate. And what that would mean is that home-educated children and their families would be subject to a much greater degree of surveillance than children in school.
And, of course, the presupposition is that homeschooling parents are not to be trusted. Now, when they say that the child protection issues are more prevalent in home schools than anywhere else, why would they say something like that?
Well, we've certainly not seen any evidence for that, and there are certainly a number of we have a Freedom of Information Act here where you can try to obtain information that the government is trying to conceal, and a number of Freedom of Information requests have been made to try to get hold of the basis on which Graham Badman says that. But the reality is that the current legal framework already gives the authorities powers to intervene where they have evidence that a child is at risk of suffering significant harm, whether that child is in school or not. But what they're talking about now is giving social workers and other local authority personnel powers to conduct routine visits to families where there's not the slightest evidence that parents are failing in their duties towards their children or that the children are at risk of any harm. And that seems to me to run counter to centuries of British law, because rather than treating home educating parents as innocent until proven guilty, the government's proposals are leaving a cloud of suspicion hanging over their heads until a state official has conducted a home visit and declared that they're okay.
Is this some indication that British government is becoming increasingly tyrannical?
I think it is. Certainly they're becoming increasingly intrusive, mm-hmm. and demonstrating, as you say, a lack of trust in parents.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it's interesting, as I read Mr. Badman's report this morning, he acknowledged that it is parents, not government, that bring up children, and yet he argues for the right regulatory regime. So, again, I wonder, which is it? You know, who is primarily responsible for bringing up children? Is it parents or government? I'm not sure he answers that question. There's some contradiction there, isn't there?
There is, and the government repeatedly states government does not bring up children, parents do. That's a key principle in their children's plan, which they published at the end of last year. And yet, in the policies that they're pursuing, they seem to be saying one thing and doing something else. Because to take, for example, the case of full-time mothers who stay at home with their children before the children go to school at the age of five. The government commissioned a report into why parents were staying at home rather than both parents going out to work, and they found, it seemed pretty obvious to me, that it was because one parent wanted to stay at home with the children and that they were prepared to make the necessary sacrifices in order to do that. But then the report went on to explore the type of support non-working partnered parents might require in order to make paid employment a realistic option, and to identify how best to help this group move into work with information, advice, and support. So it seems that the government isn't pleased when parents choose for one parent to stay at home and look after their young children, but they see that as some kind of problem and want to provide some sort of support and some sort of incentive in order to get the mothers out of work where the government seems to think they belong.
And, of course, the increase in crime that we're seeing, the decrease of the character of our nations, the decrease of the academics of our nation, the effective breakdown of Western civilization, I think, is linked to the breakdown of the family. 64% of American children under 6 years of age are latchkey. That's up from just a couple of percentage points a few generations ago. I think that it's because 40% of children are born without fathers here in America, a little higher, I believe, in England, up from 6% in 1960. The family is utterly fragmented, and it seems to me the government's been the greatest cheerleader in bringing that to pass.
I think that's right, and I think that we have a very similar situation developing here. I think, too, that the family is increasingly being viewed as an agency to pursue and promote government policy. Parents are expected now to put their children into state-regulated childcare in their early years and then to send them to state-regulated schools later on. And if they don't, if they care for their children at home or if they home educate them, then they're viewed with great suspicion and the safety and well-being of their children is called into question. And I think what's happening is that the government wants all of us, parents, families, teachers, churches, he wants us all of us to be agents of government policy, to see ourselves as branches of government rather than as free individuals and institutions.
So where are the homeschooling families going to stand up and say, this far and that's enough, that's all you're going to take here? Are they going to stand up against mandatory home visits on the part of state bureaucrats?
Yeah, the vast majority of home educators are up in arms at this recent report, and I don't think they're going to take that lying down at all. The government's currently undertaking a public consultation on the proposed changes, and homeschoolers, I'm sure, will respond in good numbers and make their concerns known. Many are writing to their members of parliament because any changes will be subject to debates and votes in both houses of parliament. And I mean, one thing we're trying to get across is the message that the government's proposals shouldn't only be of concern to homeschoolers, but to all parents. Because if the government's groundless suspicion of home educating families were applied more widely, it could lead to full-time mothers of children aged 0 to 4 being subject to statutory home visits if they don't place their children in state-regulated childcare. It could lead to parents of children in school being more closely monitored if they have the audacity to withdraw their children from sex education lessons, which they currently have the freedom to do. In fact, any parent who failed to conform to the ideals of the government of the day could place himself at risk of additional surveillance measures. And I think that's an important message for us to get across, to try to stir up other parents to see that this isn't just something that's going to affect a small minority of parents in this country, but it could be setting a very dangerous precedent for all families in the years to come.
And you make a very strong point, I think, in another context, that it's children under 6 or 7 years of age that are even more subject to the threats of child abuse. And so therefore, if there are mandatory home visits for the 7-plus children who are being homeschooled throughout England, certainly the bureaucrats will draw up even more important reasons to be in those homes where the children are under 6 or 7 years of age. So this is a battle for all parents. And something we say in this country, Norman, is that the rights and responsibilities of a parent are two sides of the same coin. If you've got the responsibilities, you've got to have the rights. And when government undermines the rights, they undermine the responsibilities and in the process destroy the family. And I think even as many of our forefathers in the faith fought for religious freedoms for the church back in the 1600s and 1700s in England and America and elsewhere, today we are fighting for the rights and the responsibilities of the family. And that battle is a worthy battle. I mean, this is the basic battle for human liberties that we have fought against tyrants over hundreds and hundreds of years of world history.
Absolutely.
And may God bless you as you fight that battle. Any hope in the future for family liberties, do you think, as you wage this important battle?
Well, as a result of considerable pressure from home educators over the past few weeks, the government has recently announced the launch of a special inquiry into the way that Graham Badman conducted his review of home education. Now, we're not quite clear at this stage what the government's motives are, but it does at least present us with a further opportunity to raise our concerns. We've got until October to make written submissions, and then the evidence will be examined by a group of members of parliament. We're also, as you probably know, due to be having a general election, probably next spring, which the Conservative Party is widely predicted to win. And so far, the Conservatives have indicated that they would not support the intrusive proposals favoured by the Labour government. But at the end of the day, our confidence isn't in men,
yes,
irrespective of their position on the political spectrum. I think we're in a Psalm 11 situation, that the foundations are being destroyed, and it's very tempting to despair and to flee to our mountains and retreat from the fight. But the psalmist there in Psalm 11 reminds us that though things here on earth may look grim, the Lord is still on the throne. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. The Lord reigns. He sees all that's being said and done against his people. The Lord will rise in judgment against the wicked. Their days are numbered. But he delights in his people and will reveal himself to them.
And that example has been repeated again and again and again throughout history. God's people have stood up against innumerable opposition and incredible odds, and yet by God's grace, by faith, and by the strength of Almighty God, they prevail time and time and time again. It's for us to believe and to move ahead, and it's in God's sovereign hands for what the outcome will produce. So I think we can trust in that. Well, what can we do here in America to support our brothers and sisters in the battle there in England?
Well, we certainly value your prayers that we may be able to continue to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence without interference from the state. We also value you and respect you very much, and wish to draw on your experience and wisdom, because I know in many of the states you've fought your own battles in years gone by.
Well, and we want to commend you, Norman, and all of the homeschool leaders and parents that are leading this movement in England for what we believe to be a very, very important battle for family freedoms and for the very existence of the family. We've got to empower parents, encourage family discipleship, we feel, and restructure the family in a significant way if our churches, our societies, our communities will be strong in the years to come. We believe this is where it all begins. So we want to commend you for what you are doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. This program is downloaded in 80-plus countries around the world, of course, all 50 states here in the United States, as we bring a message concerning family, faith, and freedom, the renewal of family relationships in a cold and lonely postmodern age. We do that each day on this radio broadcast. You can interact with the radio program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at KevinSwanson.com. Get your friends and family members around the world tuned into us at KevinSwanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.
Imagine a summer camp for the whole family. A camp with some great messages that will encourage your family to live and love together the way God has laid out in His Word. Imagine a 5-day camp with some of the best nationally known speakers on the family. A 5-day camp priced from $155. That's $155 for the whole family. We have obtained the use of one of the largest campgrounds in the West for this camp. Scheduled August 21st through the 25th in Glorieta, New Mexico, your family will hear inspiring messages on relationships and loving the family from some of the familiar voices carried on the Generations Radio broadcast. And there will be plenty of time for relaxing fellowship, hiking, volleyball, softball, high ropes course, paintball, miniature golf, horseshoes, shuffleboard, frisbee golf, tennis, ping pong, paddle boats, and canoeing. We have priced this camp so it will be affordable to the largest families with the lowest income in a tough economy. To register or just check out a little more information on this camp, visit our website, renewingthefamily.com. That's renewingthefamily.com. This camp is sponsored by Reformation Church, a family-integrated church located between Colorado Springs and Denver in Castle Rock. Call 303-648-9606 for a brochure. You need to register now at these prices. We are filling up fast. That's camp@reformationchurch.com.